This is The State of Things, live from Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. Thank you. Today we're going to be talking about some of the biggest stories here in the Triad. And up first, a violent arrest by police in Greensboro testing North Carolina's 2016 law on the release of police body cam footage. The mother of 15-year-old Jose Charles says police choked her son without provocation at a 4th of July party. She wants the public to see the police tape of that incident. Police charged Charles, with attacking an officer, among other crimes. Meanwhile, the lines have been drawn and then redrawn in Greensboro. A federal judge struck down the General Assembly's redistricting law for the Greensboro City Council. The judge deemed the new districts unconstitutional. Here to talk about those stories and more are Jordan Green, who is the senior editor for the Triad City Beat. Welcome back, Jordan.
Thank you.
And Danielle Battaglia is a court reporter with the Greensboro News and Record. Hello, Danielle.
Thank you.
Jordan, let me start with this first story we talked about. Jose Charles, this takes us back to July, the arrest of a 15-year-old here in Greensboro, captured on body cam, and now his mother would like the release of that footage. Tell us the story.
As you mentioned, there is a violent encounter between this 15-year-old and the Greensboro police at the Fun 4th Festival at Center City Park on July 4th. So I have to get into a little bit of detail here. The mother of Jose, Tamara Figueroa, watched the video, and her account is that she had some of her other children with her, and she took them to the bathroom and left her son outside, and he got into an altercation with a large group of kids. There had been some friction on Facebook, and So after the fight, all the other kids ran away and the police approached Jose. He had a cut above his eye, and the police officer asked him if he was involved in the fight, and Jose was very agitated, and he said, I've been jumped N-word. It unfortunately escalated from there, leading to Jose's mother says that a police officer picked him up and slammed him down in a suplex move. The police report that I read describes that as the officer placing the 15-year-old on the ground.
So the official report uses the word place. His mother says slammed. Okay.
Right. The police report does say that blood profusely came out of his forehead as a result of that maneuver. So there's a lot of yelling and struggling, and the police, to try to avoid public kind of uproar, they moved the situation or moved Jose to a parking deck across, or an alley next to a parking deck across the street from the park. And it was at that point that Jose was saying that he couldn't breathe, and his mother found him there, and Jose ended up getting charged with assault on an officer, and the basis of that was that he spat blood in the direction of an officer, and some of it got on his face. And his mother says that this blood from his forehead flowed into his mouth, and he was trying to clear his mouth, so that it wasn't a malicious kind of thing. There's several other charges, including disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. So to bring it up to the present, Jose has also been, since then, has been diagnosed with schizo-disaffective disorder and post-traumatic stress. He is facing charges for, he's gotten into some trouble since then as well. And so he's still facing this charge of assault on an officer. And his mother would like the police video to be public.
So she has seen, and again, we'll get into the new 2016 law that restricts the release of body cam, but family members are allowed to see it.
Yeah, that's
she's
right.
She's seen it.
That's right.
Yeah.
She would like to have it released publicly. That's not allowed under the law, which she has requested, and the city council Greensboro City Council has agreed on a 5-4 vote to review the video after a very cumbersome citizen review process is completed. And meanwhile, I guess just to wrap this up, there is pressure for Jose to plead guilty to these charges, which could have very significant impacts on his life.
How does the law affect what the Greensboro City Council is doing? In other words, as I understand the law, the video from a police cam can be released to the public, generally speaking, via the media, but to the public one way or another, if a judge rules in favor. So you'd have to take the request to a judge, the judge would have to say it's okay, and then whatever that public is would then have access to the video cam, but not before. It's not up to the police. What about the city council? Can they ask for it and get it, or do they have to go through a judge too?
I stand to be corrected on this if I'm wrong, but I believe that the city council has the right as the governing body overseeing the police to right. review the video in private. And I'm actually not sure whether they're allowed to make characterizations
or what would happen afterwards. Yeah. So then the question is, but he has a trial date coming up, and as you say, they're really pressuring him to plead guilty before this thing sees the light of day. Their process wouldn't allow even them to see it before his trial date, his current trial date, as I understand it, that they've got a process that they'd have to go through, and his trial date might come up before they actually get to screen it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I think that I think that Tamara Figueroa would like the city council to see it as soon as possible so that the city council can say to the DA, this charge is not validated based on the video that we have seen.
And this is precisely what critics were critical of in the new law that restricts the release of body cam footage, because it just casts more suspicion on the police because you haven't allowed the public to see what is now a controversial arrest. The evidence exists, the public could make its own decision and its own judgment, and now, of course, this casts the Greensboro police, once again, are under suspicion.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to sum it up.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see. So what's the next step? Are there any sort of next points or turning points in this for the next date?
Yeah, well, Jose faces trial in early May, and So meanwhile, before the city council can review the video, the citizens review board process has to play out. The citizen review board has actually said that they do not agree with the police internal investigation, which cleared themselves of wrongdoing and an accusation of excessive force. So the city council then asked the chief to respond to the citizen review board's concerns, and if the citizen review board still doesn't agree with the police, then it can be appealed up to the city manager. So it's very cumbersome and process with many steps.
Well, we will stay tuned to that. Danielle Battaglia, I turn to you now from the Greensboro News and Record. The other big story, again involving the North Carolina General Assembly, this a redistricting effort. Once again, the General Assembly from Raleigh reaching its hands into localities and changing the local political structure. The effort to redistrict city council in Greensboro by the legislature, the law that was passed, overturned by a judge. So bring us up to date on this.
So last Monday, Judge Catherine Eagles had said that the redistricting that the General Assembly had passed in 2015 was unconstitutional, and basically it gave Republican candidates a better chance of winning their elections because it packed Republican voters in Guilford County into underpopulated districts, which gives their vote more weight than somebody in a overpopulated district. And then Democratic voters were pushed into the overpopulated districts, which diluted their votes.
Right. And tell us what this did, because it also changed the number and kind of districts in Greensboro, right?
So currently, Greensboro has 5 district representatives, 3 at-large representatives, and then a mayor who is allowed to vote. And what this law did, it rid the city council of any at-large representatives and created 8 new districts and prevented the mayor from voting except in the case of a tie.
Right. And so, and again, these gerrymandered districts, which accounts for the Republican success in the General Assembly, again, outsized representation in rural areas that gives them disproportionate power. And they've succeeded wildly on that, although when there were general elections, as we saw with the governor, not so much. So this is, again, reaching into localities overturned by the judge. We're going to come back, take a break right here, and come back and talk more about the impact of that and how much of the city of Greensboro was brought into the conversation when my conversation with Danielle Battaglia from the Greensboro News and Record continues, also Jordan Green at the Triad City Beat. But first, we're going to hear from the music of Abigail Dowd on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Abigail Dowd. This is the State of Things from Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio, and I'm talking with Jordan Green, the senior editor of the Triad City Beat, and Danielle Battaglia, court reporter with the Greensboro News and Record. And before the break, Danielle, we were talking about the effort by the state legislature to redistrict city council seats, city council voting, overturned by a district judge. What was the rationale? Trudy Wade, representative from Guilford County, in the state legislature, was the one who initiated this. Why did she say it was necessary?
I've heard different things on that, and I'm not sure that I know enough to talk intelligently about it. I know that when the trial was going on, a lot of her opponents were saying that this was a way to get back at them because she had served with them on the Greensboro City Council. Past that, I'm not sure what her rationale was.
But members of the city council and the city government have all said they really weren't consulted on this. So again, this is Raleigh reaching into local affairs, as with HB2, as with the Charlotte Airport, as with the Water Authority in Asheville, as with Jordan Lake in Durham. Endless reaching into localities. And as somebody said, this is, as one blogger put it, an assault on democracy in North Carolina. And another example of that. And I think city officials have been pretty upset about it.
They have. I think, too, this particular bill also took away Greensboro's rights to pass a referendum or have their own constituents vote on a referendum to change the council makeup. And this only happened in Greensboro, and so that was something that I think, shot up a lot of red flags with this bill, is that that was something that hadn't been seen before in the state.
Did the court decision come in time? What does it do for the next elections?
Well, there was always a... it's basically, the bill's been on pause since July 2015. I think it was Judge Catherine Eagles had stopped it from going forward to allow the 2015 election to continue. And so with her ruling last week, we will continue under the plan before this bill went in place.
All right. Well, Danielle, I want to stick with you and change gears right now. Wife swapping in the county, in the high offices of county, not here in Guilford County, but in other counties in North Carolina. Tell us that story.
So we've been following this probably since September, although I think we started reporting on it in October. There is two district attorneys. One is in District 9A, which is Person in Caswell County, and then 17A in Rockingham County. So it's Rockingham County, or former Rockingham County District Attorney Craig Blitzer. He's resigned since all of this has come out. And then the Person in Caswell County District Attorney Wallace Bradshaw. And initially what we knew was that Iredell County Judge, I'm totally blanking on his name all of a sudden.
But the judge in Iredell
Joe
County,
Crosswhite. Yeah. There you go. He had ordered an SBI investigation into both district attorney's offices for the alleged theft of state funds from the misuse of the payroll system for the state.
And they did this how?
So we found out through a whistleblower lawsuit, and we were trying to get this information, so I'm kind of glad this whistleblower lawsuit came forward so we could report on it. There is a whistleblower lawsuit that said that basically both district attorneys had hired their own wives to work for them. Wallace Bradshaw was elected in 2011, and actually he was sworn in 2011, and then Craig Blitzer was sworn in 2015. So Wallace's wife, Pamela, had worked for him since 2011, and then Craig's wife began immediately on January 1st, 2015, working for him. And at that same time, Wallace was trying to give his wife a promotion to be investigator, and I think it's like somewhere in over 25% raise. And the AOC flagged it and said, it's against state law to hire your wife. So they ended up swapping wives. And it looks like the AOC had given them permission to do so. Because we've got emails going back and forth saying you can do that. But then in the whistleblower lawsuit, the woman who came forward who worked for Wallace Bradshaw said that the wives weren't showing up for work. When they did, it was very rare. I know she said Cindy Blitzer had probably worked only 5 days a year. And we have discovered through court records that she didn't even have a card swipe to get into either courthouse in Person or Caswell County. She did have one in Rockingham County that was still active after she left that office. And then Pamela Bradshaw, if I remember the numbers right, I think she had worked there for 128 days and only swiped into the courthouse 34 times. Mm-hmm. I may be a little off on those numbers.
Well, that's because she slept there. She never left.
Maybe.
She never left. That's how hard she worked. Good for you for working this hard. And again, the whistleblower and all of this to push back against any assault on democracy, should there be one from any corner, because this kind of openness is what's required for us to function. So first, let me thank you for that. What's the fallout? Where are we now in the story?
So Craig Blitzer had resigned. I'm trying to remember which day he resigned. He resigned March 10th of this month. And the whistleblower lawsuit, we've hit the 30-day mark, so all of the defendants who are named, and there's several from the Person County Courthouse, and then also Craig Blitzer and Cindy Blitzer are names. I don't know if I said Cindy Blitzer's name before, but that's his wife. And so they were supposed to respond within 30 days to the lawsuit. They all asked for an extension, so we're waiting for the 60-day mark, which should be coming up in the next week and a half, I think.
We will stay tuned.
And the SBI investigation's continuing, so...
I want to thank you both for keeping us well informed. Danielle Battaglia is a court reporter with the Greensboro News and Record, and Jordan Green is the senior editor with the Triad City Beat. Thank you so much.